Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we've got something really fascinating to dive into.
We're talking about some groundbreaking research on pancreatic cells and type 2 diabetes. This is really cutting-edge stuff.
Yeah, and what's cool is they're using single-cell RNA sequencing to basically map out what's happening inside these cells, like at the individual cell level.
Right. So let's set the stage here. We're looking at alpha cells and beta cells in the pancreas. Beta cells make insulin, which everyone knows about.
The stuff that regulates blood sugar. Yeah.
Exactly. And alpha cells produce glucagon, which does kind of the opposite. It raises blood sugar when it gets too low.
So they're like working together to keep everything balanced?
Precisely. But here's where it gets interesting. In type 2 diabetes, something goes wrong. Beta cells start to dysfunction. And, get this, they can actually start looking more like alpha cells.
Wait, so they're like, changing their identity? That's wild.
It's called de-differentiation. The researchers here found that beta cells can transition toward an alpha cell-like state. And they identified 5 different subtypes of alpha cells with distinct characteristics.
5 different types? I assumed alpha cells were just alpha cells.
That's what makes this research so powerful. Using single-cell sequencing, they could see that not all alpha cells are the same. They labeled them alpha 1 through alpha 4. And then there's this really interesting one called AB cells.
AB cells. So they're expressing both alpha and beta characteristics.
Exactly. They're producing both glucagon and insulin. And here's the thing. These AB cells seem to be at a kind of crossroads. They can potentially go either way, becoming more like mature alpha cells or more like beta cells.
That's fascinating. So in healthy pancreases, there's this flexibility?
Right. But in type 2 diabetes, the researchers found something different. The trajectories become more one-directional. Beta cells moving toward alpha cells. It's like the system loses that balance.
So the flexibility disappears. And I'm guessing that's not good for insulin production.
Not good at all. Now, here's where they made a really crucial discovery. They identified 10 genes that are involved in this beta to alpha transition. And one of them, called SMOC1, really stood out.
SMOC1. What does that do?
So, SMOC1 is normally expressed mainly in alpha cells in healthy people. But in type 2 diabetes, it shows up in beta cells too. And when they tested what happens when you increase SMOC1 in beta cells,
it wasn't good, I'm guessing.
Not at all. It decreased insulin expression, reduced glucose-stimulated insulin secretion, and basically pushed the beta cells toward that alpha cell-like state. It's like SMOC1 is actively driving the de-differentiation process.
Wow. So if you could block SMOC1, maybe you could prevent some of that beta cell dysfunction?
That's exactly what makes this so exciting for potential therapies. They also found that SMOC1 is a secreted protein, and its levels are actually elevated in the blood of people with type 2 diabetes.
So it could even be a biomarker, like you could measure it to see what's happening.
Potentially, yeah. And get this. When they added SMOC1 protein to healthy beta cells, it disrupted calcium signaling, which is crucial for insulin release. It also reduced the number of mature insulin granules in the cells.
So it's not just changing gene expression. It's actually interfering with the machinery that releases insulin.
Exactly. It's working on multiple levels. And here's something interesting. They also found that FOXO1, which is another protein involved in diabetes, can actually regulate SMOC1 expression. So there might be this feedback loop happening.
This is getting pretty complex, but in a good way. Like, the more we understand these connections, the more potential targets we have for treatment.
Absolutely. And that's really the power of this single-cell approach. Traditional methods would just look at whole tissue samples and miss all these subtleties about different cell types and how they're changing.
Right. Because you're literally looking at individual cells and tracking their gene expression patterns.
Yeah, and they used both single-cell and single-nucleus RNA sequencing together, which gave them even more comprehensive data. They could see both mature RNA in the cytoplasm and newly forming RNA in the nucleus.
So they're getting, like, a time-lapse view of what's happening in these cells?
That's a great way to put it. And they use something called RNA velocity analysis, which can actually predict the direction cells are moving. Like, are they becoming more alpha-like or more beta-like?
That's incredible. So what are the big takeaways here for, you know, for people listening who might have diabetes or know someone who does?
Well, first, this gives us a much clearer picture of what's actually happening at the cellular level in type 2 diabetes. It's not just that beta cells die, they can change their identity. Second, SMOC1 emerges as a really promising therapeutic target.
And presumably, if we could develop drugs that block SMOC1 or prevent this dedifferentiation process,
we might be able to preserve beta cell function and improve insulin secretion, which could be huge for diabetes management. Of course, this is still research stage, but it opens up new avenues.
It's also interesting that they found these other genes in that signature, like ALDH1A1 and PLCE1. Are those also potential targets?
Yeah, they identified 10 genes total that were common across the different trajectories from beta to alpha cells. Each of them could potentially be important. SMOC1 just stood out because it was so clearly present in diabetic beta cells, but not in healthy ones.
Right. So it's like a smoking gun. And the fact that it's secreted means it could be affecting neighboring cells too?
Exactly. That's the paracrine effect. So one dysfunctional cell could potentially influence others around it, which could accelerate the progression of diabetes.
That's kind of scary, but also important to understand.
Definitely. But knowledge is power, right? The more we understand these mechanisms, the better equipped we are to intervene. And this research really provides a roadmap for future studies and potential treatments.
So what's next? I mean, where does research like this typically go from here?
Well, they'd need to validate these findings in more samples, maybe look at different populations, and then the big step would be developing therapeutics, whether that's small molecule inhibitors of SMOC1 or other approaches to prevent beta cell dedifferentiation.
And presumably testing those in animal models first, then eventually human trials.
Exactly. It's a long road, but this kind of fundamental research is where it all starts. You can't develop good treatments without understanding the underlying biology first.
This has been really fascinating. I think what strikes me is just how much complexity there is. Like, even within one type of cell, there are all these subtypes and transitions happening.
Yeah. And that's what makes single-cell technology so revolutionary. We're finally able to see that complexity instead of just averaging everything together. It's like going from looking at a forest from space to actually walking through it and seeing each individual tree.
That's a great analogy. Well, thanks for breaking this down, Jamie. This is definitely one of those studies that could have real implications down the road.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening to the Origene podcast. If you found this interesting, make sure to subscribe and check out our other episodes where we dive into more cutting-edge research.
Until next time, stay curious.